One of the requests I get all the time is, how is your wife doing? We hear so much about her. What is she really like? Well, you're in for a treat. Today, I've asked my wife to share a message that she shared with our church. And by the way, guys, you need to listen to this. Today's message is one you'll want to get your wives. But ladies, put your feet up. The seasons of a woman's life. If you want to get some encouragement today, or guys, learn about how to love your wife, stick with me. That's today.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Living on the Edge is an international teaching and discipleship ministry featuring the Bible teaching of Chip Ingram. I'm Dave Drewy, and today Chip hands the microphone over to his wife, Teresa, as she shares a message on the ups and downs, the challenges and joys of raising children. Now, guys, this might give you some great insight into how to encourage and support the women in your life, so stay tuned. If you don't get to hear all of today's message, it's available on the Chip Ingram app. Now, here's Teresa Ingram.
I want to share with you today just the seasons that I went through as a mom. And all of us as moms are a little bit different journeys, but we all can relate to some degree to all of these seasons. And the first season that I went through is the season of beginnings. I was not a Christian when I first became a mom. And I was in a marriage at the time that was not working well, was very unstable, and it was in the midst of this troubled marriage that my first child was born. And I went to the hospital, and I was expecting one baby, and I came home with two. I had twins, and the doctor didn't even know that I was having twins, and so it was just a total shock. And also, we were having a lot of problems as a couple, and so it just continued and got worse during that time. By the time my little boys were 9 months old, my husband had gotten involved with another woman at his job, and soon he packed up his bags and he moved out. He left me with these two little boys and went off with and left us with no support, and it was just a heartbreaking time for me. It was a time that I never dreamed that I would ever experience, and something that I never wanted to be. But I found myself as a single mom, taking care of two little boys, going to work, and trying to provide the needs of two little boys on my own. It was a time that I cried a lot. I was just so exhausted. I was lonely. I was worried about how I was going to pay the bills and take care of these little boys. And I felt so inadequate as a mom. And I didn't know how I was going to care for these children by myself. And how could I give them what they needed? Am I going to be able to provide both what a mom and a dad could be to these children? And I have lots of questions during that time and lots of fears. But God did something wonderful for me. He reached into my broken world. He revealed himself to me in my brokenness. And my life began to change. And so this is another new beginning. I became a mom, and I became a child of God. And it was during this time that God allowed me to be with a very tiny group of women in the basement of a Free Methodist church, and I learned how to pray. And he showed me that I could run to him every day, that I could spend time with him in prayer and just simple words, ask him for what I needed, and he would answer. And he showed me that he would be sufficient to meet every need that I had just when I needed it, and that he wanted to be the father to my fatherless children, that he would make up the slack in whatever I couldn't give them. And he showed me that he would be my companion when I was feeling very lonely and I needed someone by my side, that he would be there. And one of the most special answers to prayer that I had during that time in praying for companionship was, one evening I put my little boys in bed, and I went in the living room, and I was so sad and so lonely this evening, and I just wanted to be with someone. And so I just cried out to the Lord, and I said, "Lord, I am so lonely. Would you just bring someone to visit me?" And not long after I had prayed that prayer, there was a knock on my door, and I couldn't believe it. And the first thing that came to my mind was, oh, this is going to be my knight in shining armor, that tall, dark, handsome knight in shining armor that's coming to rescue me, and he's going to sweep me off my feet and love me and take care of my kids, and this was going to be God's provision for my life. But when I opened the door, there was no knight in shining armor, but it was Edith. It was my next door neighbor. And she was an older lady, and she was very short, and she was overweight, and she was divorced. She was living alone, and she wasn't anything at all like what I expected God to bring to my door. But you know, she became one of the greatest blessings of my life. Edith became my closest friend, and she lived next door, so we could spend lots of time together. And she was the greatest encouragement in my life during that time, and she was just what I needed. And God says in John 15:7, that if we will be in his word, and if we will walk with him, that he will answer our prayers in amazing ways. And that's a promise. It's a promise from his word that he wants to answer our prayers when we cry out to him. Season number two, I call My Quiver is Full with Full-Time Mothering. Later on, I met Chip and we were married, and he adopted my two little boys, and then we had two other children. And during this season of my life, I just felt like my quiver was full, and I just loved it. I enjoyed every moment of being a mom. And neither Chip nor I had grown up in Christian homes. In fact, both of our dads were alcoholics as we grew up, and we both became Christians when we were adults. So we didn't know what a Christian home looked like. We didn't know how to be a Christian mom and dad. And so we made a lot of mistakes during those years, and we didn't always agree on how to handle our parenting and how to discipline the children. And so sometimes we had conflict about that, and really had to work through those issues. But I did learn that God wanted to be my number one teacher as to how to be a mom. And he wanted his word, the Bible, to be my number one handbook in how to be a mom. And he was using many different things to teach me during that time. He brought women into my life, and I learned from them how to be a godly mom. And I read lots of books on parenting. And he was teaching me just through life experiences. And lots of those life experiences were just mistakes that I made or we made as a couple. And I learned through those, and I learned how to handle it God's way. And I realized that the only way that I could hear God speak to me, the only way that I could know his truth, was being his word on a daily basis. And so even when my children were babies, a priority of my life was to spend time with God in his word nearly every day. And I realize some days you can't, but nearly every day that was what I try to do, is to spend time in God's word. And it's hard when you have little ones in your home, when you're a young mom and there's babies crying and children running all over the place and lots of things to do. But I would get up early. I would sometimes have time in the word when they were having their naps. Sometimes it was when toys were all over the floor and the house was a mess and they were occupied playing, and I could open up God's word and I could read and I could pray. And sometimes it was only for 5 or 10 minutes, but that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter to God. It's the relationship that counts. He knew my heart. He understands young moms. He understands the pressures that we have and all the things we need to do. And because of that, because I didn't care where it was or what we were doing when I spent time with the Lord, is they saw me be in his word, and they saw me pray, and they heard me pray for them. And so I think it became evident to our children that God was the center of our home, that he was the center of our parenting and our home life, and that's who we were living for. My foundation verse during this time was Deuteronomy 6, 5 through 7, and it says, "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your soul and with all your strength." And he goes on to say, "And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children." God says to moms, we need to teach our children. We need to make an effort to teach our children his word, to spend time with them. And it goes on to say, "And you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up." And he's talking about a lifestyle here, that it's just who we are, that we are followers of Jesus, that we are moms that love the Lord. And it just comes out in who we are. And as we walk and follow after Jesus, our children will see God's truth in us. And I think the greatest tool that we have as mothers is our own life, the greatest tool in teaching our children. And as we love the Lord, and as we're obedient to his word, and as we love our children and we teach them his word, we model Christ-likeness to them in just the most powerful way. And so mothers, we need to remember that our children are watching us all the time in how we handle life. And if we want them to live the way we live, then we need to follow Jesus and live the way he lived. Well, season three, I call Giving Them Wings. And moms, we've spent 18 plus years nurturing our children, protecting them, teaching them, helping them to prepare for adulthood. And then it comes that day when it's time for them to spread their wings and to get out on their own. And it's time for them to graduate from high school or go off to college or go off to a job. And they're excited. But sometimes us moms, we're not quite ready for this to happen. Our hearts aren't quite prepared for it. And three of my four children went a long ways to college. Two of them clear across the country. And each time one of them left my nest, the security of my nest, I just grieved so much over that loss that I felt. And I was so sad for a long time. And I knew it's God's plan that they leave. It's God's plan that they spread their wings. And I wouldn't have it any other way. But my heart aches so much every time that happened. Well, then the Lord taught me something really wonderful that has brought such comfort to my life. And one time I took one of my sons, we flew him from California to Chicago to go to school, got him all set up, and we flew back home, and I was just so sad. And the next morning I got up, and I always have my quiet time in the morning, and I opened up my Bible, and I just remember so clearly that day. I was sitting on the floor, and the sun was coming in, and I just opened up the Word, and I was reading in John 19. And this is the passage where Jesus is hanging on the cross. He's being crucified, and it's at the most amazing time of his life, because all the sin and the weight of the world is on him, and he's in extreme pain. And as he's hanging on the cross, he did something that I thought was amazing. He looked and he saw his mother. And this is what he said in John 19, 25. "Standing near the cross was Jesus' mother. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside the disciple that he loved," and that was John, "he said to her, 'Dear woman, this is your son,'" talking to John. "And then he said to his disciple, 'Here is your mother.' And from then on, the disciple, John, took Jesus' mother into his home." And I was just so amazed at how Jesus cared for his mom, even at this time. This is what he came to the earth to do. And at this most amazing time of his life, he cared about his mom. And he made sure that she was taken care of. And I thought, if Jesus cares for mothers, He cares about how we feel. He cares about our griefs. He cares about the losses that we experience. And He has a plan for our children and their future, but He also has a plan for me and for us as moms. And my life isn't over. Sometimes I felt like it was over, but my life wasn't over when the children left the home. And now it's time for them to go out into the world and to spread their wings and put all that I have taught them into action. And it's such an amazing time for us to be able to watch our children go out there and learn to trust God on their own. And it was during this season that the Lord taught me to surrender my children to Him every day, because I couldn't be there. I couldn't be there to make sure they were doing okay, and I couldn't be there to make sure they were safe and that they had everything they needed. So I had to entrust them, to give them over to the Lord, the only one who could keep them safe, the only one who knew their hearts and could provide what they needed. And what I could do for them now, the best thing that I could do would be to pray for them and to bring that power of God, that heaven on earth, into their lives every day, every single day, and that God would help them and provide for them. And so I prayed, and I prayed about everything. Season number 4 is where I'm at right now, and I call it Adult Children, or the Empty Nest. I think this is the true empty nest. But I realize that being a mom never changes. I mean, I'm still a mom. I'll always be a mom. And God is still the same to me as He was when they were little. He's still sufficient to meet all of my needs. And He's still teaching me, and He's still leading me. He still has work for me to do. A few years ago, I was thinking and praying about, well, what does it look like now that my children are grown and they have their own families, and you know, what does it really look like to be a mom, a Christian mom to grown children? And as I was praying, I was asking the Lord this, and He gave me some guidelines to go by that I wrote down on a card that morning. And they're really simple, but I think God speaks to us in simple ways that we can understand. And I would like to share those with you today. And these are my guidelines from the Lord. And number one is, and you probably could guess this, but God says for us to pray for our children, to pray for them every day. And I pray for them to grow in their relationship with the Lord, to know how much He loves them and cares for them. And I pray that they would experience His power in their lives. And I pray that they would be fruit-bearing vines in His kingdom, that they would make a difference for God. Number two is to encourage them spiritually, as God would give me opportunity. And it may be through a word that I speak, it may be through a card that I put in the mail, maybe through a book that I give them, it may be through my own life, or if they ask for counsel and I can give them counsel from the word, but to point them to Jesus as much as I can, to point them to Jesus. Number three is to be a good role model, to live a Christ-like life that they would want to imitate. And that goes on until the day we die, that we need to model Christ-likeness to our children. And number four is to have fun with them, as God allows us to do that. Number five is to communicate deeply and meaningfully with our children. You know, sometimes it's easy just to talk about surfacey things, about the weather, or about sports, or how often the babies are feeding, and it's easy to talk about those things, but we need to go deeper with our children and to communicate meaningfully to them and ask them how they're doing, ask them what God is teaching them, ask them where they're struggling, ask them what is the most exciting thing that's happened in their life lately, ask them what you can pray for them, and so communicate. Think of questions to ask where you can go deeper with your children, have more meaningful conversation. And number five is to stay in touch regularly with them, to stay in touch, even if it's not the easiest thing. One of our sons lives in Nashville and with two of our little grandkids, and it's not the easiest to stay in touch. And so we may have to make an effort to do that, to keep in touch with him and go visit and be a part of their lives. And my verse is to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not on my own understanding. You see, I realize I can't do it. I can't mother them the way God wants me to, but God can. And He wants to use me. He wants to live His life through me to do that for my children. So trust in Him with all my heart. Lean not on my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make my path straight. He will show me what to do when I don't know what to do. And lastly, the last season, I'm not quite there yet, but I call it the season of old age. And I have a promise, though. God's given me a promise for that season. And it's from Isaiah 46:4, and it says, "Even to your old age, I will be the same. Even to your graying years, I will bear you. I have done it, and I will carry you, and I will bear you, and I will deliver you." God's saying to us, even to your old age, I'm not going to change. I'm going to be the same to you. His promises never fail us, ever. And He says He will sustain us through all of our lives, from the time that we are conceived in our mother's womb until the time that we're in our old age, that He will be watching over His own, that He protects us. And so, moms, I just want to say to you today, I hope you can realize to some degree how much God loves you and how much He cares for you in every season of your life.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Living on the Edge with Chip Ingram. Our special guest teacher today is Chip's wife, Teresa. And if you found it helpful, her message, The Seasons of Motherhood, is available online at livingontheedge.org. This message actually kicks off our entire month of teaching, all about relationships. Tomorrow, Chip launches his new series, God's Wisdom for Building Great Relationships. And every Friday this month, we'll pause so Chip has a chance to answer your questions. If you have a question for Chip, you can send it to chip@livingontheedge.org. Well, obviously, he won't be able to get to every question that comes in, but tune in Friday to hear Chip's answers to relationship questions you've shared. And who knows, it might be one of yours. Well, Chip, before we get to your final thoughts today, is there anything in particular that you saw Teresa do that really helped her? Anything you could pass on?
Well, Dave, absolutely. In fact, she would get these cards out. And those of you who know a little bit more of our story know that she came from a very, very challenging home life and then went through some just radical rejection. And so her self-image and view of herself was so low that when we were in marriage counseling and we were struggling through issues early in our marriage, we realized that I believed lies and she believed lies. And the lies that she believed were causing her not just to feel bad about herself, but it affected our whole family. And I watched her begin to write down these lies on one side of a card and make a little stop sign and then flip the card over and write the affirming truth about who she really was and how God really sees her. And then there would be one passage. And, you know, we were in counseling together at the time early in our marriage. And so we would review these cards every morning together for about 2 years. And literally, when you renew your mind like that, it just transformed her life. And actually, it transformed mine. And it would be something on a card that might say something like, you know, I don't measure up no matter how hard I try, so why try? Stop. The truth is, you already measure up because who you are in Christ, you're deeply loved just as you are. And then there would be a passage. And so little by little, these cards, people started asking about them. And so we created these affirmation cards for women. They're cards that are designed to bless and encourage women. They will identify probably the top 10 or more lies that women believe. And then I will tell you, as your daughter, as your wife, or as you review these cards, it will help you be the mother you long to be. Let me encourage you, pick up these cards. You'll really be glad you did.
Thanks, Chip. Well, the cards Chip's talking about are our affirmation cards. They're a beautiful little set with the truth from God's Word about who we are in Christ when we battle the lies about our self-worth and value. Now, to take a look at them, just go to livingontheedge.org. Order your set today and maybe one to encourage someone you know. They're a great little gift. Just go to livingontheedge.org or give us a call at 1-888-333-6003. Well, now here's Chip with a final thought.
As we close today's program, I want to just stop for a moment and say thank you, Teresa, for sharing with us. And let me speak both to men and women now. Guys, I hope you didn't tune out on me, because you know what? There's a lot of what my wife said that we as men really don't get. And there's two things I hear Teresa saying, and more than saying it, I've watched her model this and live this out for over 30 years with tiny little kids when she was overwhelmed. And at one point we had three teenagers, and then we had, you know, two or three in college. And here's what I can tell you. Teresa has come to believe that God really loves her, and that she's come to pursue and understand and experience that love as her number one priority. And ladies, I know there's issues, and you wish your husband was different, or some of you are single and wish you were married, and some of you are going through a very difficult time right now. But I think what God wants you to hear through Teresa today is that He loves you, and He's the answer to your problems, He's the answer to your future, and then your response is pursue Him. Seek Him with all your heart. And I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. But I have lived with a woman that whether she had to get up at 4:30 or 5 in the morning to meet with God when we had two or three little ones, or whether she was overwhelmed with all the demands living with someone like me, she has persistently said, I'm going to make time with God. I'm going to pray from my heart. I'm going to get connected with other women, and I'm going to grow spiritually. And what I will tell you is it's the best gift that she's given to me. And the other thing I would say, gentlemen, is you need to encourage her. You need to help her. You need to take the kids. You need to give her some room and let her know that she's valued and that she's not only loved by God, but she's loved by you. You need to help your wife or the women in your life become women who understand they are precious in God's sight.
Just before we close, let me remind you about the affirmation cards Chip mentioned earlier. Maybe jump online and take a look at those now. You'll find them at livingontheedge.org. And maybe set a reminder for the next few Fridays when Chip will be with us in studio to answer your questions all about relationships. Well, until next time, this is Dave Drewy saying thanks for listening to this edition of Living on the Edge.